plans not for harm, to give you a future with hope. And of course, the context of that verse we've already heard, but just to reiterate again, the context is that God's own people had been devastated in Jerusalem. They had come to destruction from their enemies. They'd been cast away as captives, as prisoners of war, really, captives into Babylon, a land not their own. And the prophet Jeremiah was given a word to tell them. And his word was that they should not think that they're coming back anytime soon. But this is the word that the Lord of hosts gave to those exiles taken away. And it's this, that they should, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles that I've sent. The Lord sent them there into exile. He said, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And then he went on to say, thus says the Lord of all the armies of heaven, the sovereign Lord over everything else, the God of Israel, he said, as well as that, do not let the prophets, that is the false ones, and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when the 70 years are in Babylon are complete, then I'll visit you and I'll fulfill my promise and bring you back to this place. So, in other words, you guys are going to be in Babylon for a long haul. Get used to it, settle down, build your houses. That's your life ahead there. And 70 years is going to be, you know, for many of you, the whole time. Yes, the next generations will get to come back, but you make the best of it there. And not only that, you pray for the welfare of the city, for Babylon, pray for them, pray they'll know the Lord, pray the Lord will bless their nation. That sometimes happens when refugees get spread across the globe. Wherever they go, quite often they bring great blessing where they know the Lord, they pray and make a new community among where they are. It's a wonderful thing that happens. It was happening here. And it is happening incidentally to the fact that, yeah, they were devastated. They'd turned from hearing the Lord's word. Their children, they'd been sacrificing their children. And the nation was in a mess. But God's plan, his great plan with this one little nation, was to bless all the nations of the world. And really, they had to be shaped up for 70 years, ready to go again, become praying people, become blessing people, become a light to the nations, and God would bring them back and they would recommence their ministry. And of course we know that happened. It happened, and through that was the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through that the plan to continue, all the sins of the world were laid on him. That was the plan. And through the plan, the Father raised him as he'd planned from the grave, and the resurrected Lord now speaks a hope and a new hope, a hope and a future to the nations of the world. And they were told then to go into all the world and take the good news, baptizing people, bringing them in to believe the gospel, and a people of hope would be recreated right through the whole universe. And that's you and I. We're part of the plan of God. One of the Proverbs says, many are the plans in the mind of a person, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Humanity's often run off with all sorts of plans to do all sorts of things, but have ignored or don't know or have rejected or have heard and don't believe God's plan for the world. but to God persists with us, the whole human race today, to draw us into, to be eagerly engaged in the plan of God. There is a plan. God's always had a plan. Before the foundation of the world, he planned to redeem that world, and he's bringing that plan about. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, began to say Christ's crucifixion was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, but he's raised him up, and then they healed a chap outside the temple. And when everyone asked what happened, they said, this is what the ascended Jesus has just done this here, but he must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration, the restoration of the universe, as part of the original message. If we've lost that, we've lost our genuine hope. It's just having someone to talk to now, and then we all die, and that's it. Heaven, we're pretty blurry about. No, the plan is to redeem the entirety of creation. You and I know that plan. Christ's been raised to guarantee, as the forerunner, he's to ensure that plan comes about. We have another message which is vocal in the world today, and it's always been there, was here, there, here, which is the false prophecy. The false message at that time was, no, you'll be coming back pretty soon. Don't listen to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah's word came from the Lord, and they were to settle down for 70 years and entrust themselves to their faithful Creator. The Apostle Peter, in his letter to the churches, he says these very words: entrust your souls, meaning not just the part you can't see or something. He means entrust your personhood, who you are, entrust yourself to a faithful Creator. Our entire globe is being hammered with a message that says there's no faithful Creator here. We're on our own. Many people just believe that. They don't believe in a faithful Creator. And the only reason you and I do is we've met him in the first fruits of the new creation, and we can see already in the Jesus who's raised from the grave, not as a spook, not as a ghost, but as a human being whom has been touched and talks and eats fish. In this man is the beginning, and anyone who has faith in him and who believes in him and who's come in touch with this new risen man is part of the new creation. If anyone is in Christ, they're part of the new creation already. That is where we're headed. That's the plan. But you hear every day, that used to be the churches messed up the book of Revelation and talked about doom and darkness and getting ready for heaven, because this is all going to be destroyed. They've taken even Peter's words where he says the elements will be burned up with fire, and have taken that as if as some cosmic blast is somehow or another God's gonna rip into the whole of creation with a torch and burn it up. But it's his holy love, dear friends. It is the holy love of Jesus. Said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I wish that this fire were already alight. The fire of his cross, the fire of his death and resurrection, to burn up the sin of the world. Not to burn the creation to a fizzle and a fragment, but to burn up the sin of the world in the cross, so that what remains might be true, might be the resurrected Lord, the new creation begun in him. That is the plan. Do you know that plan? Do you believe that plan? You're part of that plan. I know I've said it loudly. If I said it softly, would it be any different? God has a plan, and you and I are part of it. And maybe there's an urgency because there's another story being put around, but Paul said no. He said the whole creation waits with eager longing. Whole creation waiting expectantly, waiting for the revealing of the true humanity. The whole of creation's groaning now, waiting for that humanity to be adopted into the new family of God, where only righteousness reigns. Jesus said to his disciples, in the regeneration, he said, you'll sit on thrones. In the regeneration, whenever a fire's gone through, don't you love regeneration? Wow, it's beautiful. That is the plan of God, is to bring that regeneration, the new heavens that John speaks of in Revelation 21. The new heavens is the word chosen there. Doesn't mean the old one's trashed. It means the renewed heavens and the renewed earth. This is the plan of God. And so, you know, we look back on Jeremiah's words 2,500 years ago. He had a word to speak which came true. God proved himself to be a faithful creator. He brought them back. He's done that right through history so that we will know we're not trusting a word that's unbelievable. We're trusting a word that brought a group across the Red Sea. We're trusting a God who brought his own people back to exile. He gave them a tough time and then brought them back. We're trusting a God who sent Jesus in the fullness of time as he's planned. And we're trusting a God who's able to finish the work that he's begun. That is the plan. God has a plan. You know, I preach that message. I try and include that message. I hope that message goes far and wide. I hope you believe that message. I hope you live in the truth of that and then listen carefully and say, Lord, what's my part in your plan? I believe this wonderful word of hope. Help me to take up and keep stepping in your plan. During the week, I went to Peterborough. Very dry at Peterborough. Went to a funeral service. Dear Pat Dennis, some of you may know Pat, but Pat was in her 90s and still encouraging in that little church. A chap had come in, had been on drugs and had messed his brain up a bit. But Pat encouraged him, and she does everybody. She hears all the bad news, and then her eyes light up and she says, well, you know, Jesus is still Lord and I trust him. And she said that sort of thing to this young man, and he was able to stand up at her funeral and say, Pat meant a lot to me. She encouraged me to get from there. She said I could do it. And I went out the front of the church and I read the Bible. That's his act of faith. And here she was in her 90s, still encouraging a man who'd, you know, been a bit broken. And I thought, what a wonderful testimony. And when I get to the, you know, to the age to come, I'm going to, if I need any favours, I'll ask Pat Dennis. She's going to be right up the front of the line. She was just a faithful, dear soul who believed on Jesus. She trusted Jesus with all her heart. Her husband was not given the business. A brother was given the whole business and property, and it was a sadness all their life they carried, but she trusted the Lord. And friends, that is our role, is to put our trust in God, put our trust in him, and he will see us through. He won't fail you or forsake you. He will never fail you or forsake you. He's a faithful creator. He will not fail his creation. He will not fail his creation. He's called you and me probably to tidy it up a bit. We wreck it pretty well. But to clean it up, to be fruitful, to be genuine carers of the earth that God's given to us, but doing so in belief that he will re-pristinate, and that is the plan, not something else that others falsely will tell you. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today, and may I just finish by closing these. I'm going to ask you a series of rhetorical questions, and you can answer them as you like. Do you trust God's plan for his people, his world, his universe, and for you? Is it great to be part of a sure plan? I reckon Hardwick had a sure plan yesterday, and they all came in, he said, this is the plan, and they said, yeah, let's keep doing that. And it worked out fine. Be good to be part of the good plan, wouldn't it? You're part of a very good plan. For those who don't know, Hardwick's the coach of the team that won yesterday. But anyway, I'm sorry for you non-footballers here. Can you discern what is a false plan? When you hear a lie, can you go, it doesn't sound right to me? Cosmic catastrophe. Jesus speaks of the regeneration of all things. He does not speak of cosmic catastrophe. Yes, there's coming judgments. Yes, those things come upon the face of the earth. It's a third, two-thirds the Lord keeps, and he continues to bring that plan through. Yeah, there's tribulation, there's testing, there's turmoil. Finally, Peter teaches us that universal restoration is God's holy fire. May the holiness of the Lord continue to affect you personally, so you're involved in a holy plan, a plan that's not from us, but from God. It's fully holy, sanctified by him. And may you hear Proverbs 3:5 in closing, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Living Lord, teach us to make our plans, listening carefully to your word to us, being directed by your Spirit. Teach us to hope in you, Jesus Christ, victorious Lord. Teach us also to think through how we might be a blessing wherever you place us. Teach us to discern what is a false plan masquerading as a true plan and to reject it. Teach us to love your plan and to love you. In the name of Christ we pray. And all the people said, Amen. Thank you. We've got a song to sing to close.